Ray, thank you very much. Thank you.
It's the Ray Dasha Show on RTE Radio 1. Have a great summer.
It's a novelty, it's a novelty. Ray handing over to Ray instead of Brian handing over to Brian. Howdy doody, good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. The sun has shone for the week, which is brilliant. I think it's brilliant because it's the last week. I know some schools are back, but everyone's definitely back next Monday. So we've had a lovely final week of the summer, because when September kicks in, that's it really, isn't it? You know, the Late Late Show's back on, the All-Irelands are over, the evenings are getting shorter. Will I continue? No, I won't. I won't continue because we're still in August and we're still officially in the summer. It's Friday and we're easing into the weekend. Ronan Keating will be talking to us today. I actually grabbed a cup of coffee, went into the room this morning and had a long chat with him. And he talked about loads of things. You know, he's a voice in Paw Patrol, the movie. The Concert for Cancer is on tonight in aid of the Marie Keating Foundation. That's on Virgin Media One. We talked about getting back to gigs, doing the One Show, the settlement of the case he took against the News of the World. Loads of things. And all that's coming up. Erica Fleming. Now, there's a name from the past. We spoke to Erica a good few times back in 2017. You might remember that Erica and her daughter were in emergency accommodation and they featured on a documentary done by Primetime. And then eventually they got housed and we were there the day that she got the keys to her apartment and she talked us through it and it was very emotional. Parallel to that, Erica went into the Access programme in Trinity College Dublin and this week she pressed the send button on her thesis. Which finished 5 years of education and hopefully will result in a degree in English from Trinity. So we'll be catching up with Erica on the show today as well. And after 4 o'clock, buskers are back on the streets of Clonmel. It has a bang of normality about it, as our David said, the bang of normality about it. So we'll be taking a trip down to Clonmel and talking to people. We may even get one of the buskers to sing us a song before the end of the programme. And of course, as always, the quiz of today, which I've misplaced. Oh, there it is there. I'll do that now and then I'll talk you through various things that the team and I have seen in the papers and around on Twitter and other things throughout the morning. So, but first this. Yes, our quiz of today, today being the 27th of August, we've cobbled together 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years, decades, centuries. We're looking for two people to come on and answer 5 questions each, and there is a prize, which this week is a 2-night break in the Kingsley Hotel in Cork and dinner on one of the evenings in the Springboard restaurant. The beautiful bedrooms down there, bistro-style restaurant, luxury spa and an extensive health club. It's a riverside location, as the name doesn't suggest, but it is a riverside location on the River Lee, and it's a perfect location to explore everything that Cork City and County has to offer. The English Market, Crawford Art Gallery, East Cork, West Cork, all over Cork. Thekingsley.ie for more information. And our qualifying question today, if you want to be involved, we're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock. You know the deal by now. Here's the qualifying question. Can you name the current Minister for Health? Mentioned there in the news as it happens. Current Minister for Health, 1850-715-100. Or even 1850-715-900. 1850-715-900. 1850-715-900. And we may be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Thank you. Pathé Newsman and his band. And in years to come, when they're doing the quiz of today, they'll be talking about this day, the 27th of August, 2021, when scientists in Egypt identified a new species of four-legged whale that lived around 43 million years ago. The Phaeomycetus anubis, say it once and fast and with confidence, was originally discovered in Egypt's western desert. Its skull resembles that of an Anubis, the ancient Egyptian jackal-headed god of the dead, after which it is named. It weighs in at 600 kilograms, 3 metres, 10 feet long. But it's a mad, it's a sort of an amphibian-type creature. It's a whale, 4 legs, so it can walk on land and swim in the sea. That's mad. I was just doing that 43 million years ago. I can never remember this, but we're sort of on Earth, like modern day Homo sapiens, 300,000 years, right? So that guy, that four-legged whale, 43 million years ago. And then, the guy down in Valentia Island, you know, the tetrapod tracks there, that's when they reckon that some sort of sea-going creature came onto land. That's 350 million years ago. And they reckon the Earth, you stay with me, the Earth has been around for 4.5 billion years. I can't conceive that. I can't get my head around that. 4.5 billion years ago, this ball that we're floating around on came into existence. It's just mad stuff and all the changes. I saw a brilliant book up on the desk, which maybe we'll talk to the man in the coming weeks. But it's about the origins of language. I'm fascinated by that. I don't know if you are. So was there no language and then suddenly there was language? Or did language evolve? And how did it evolve? Was there singing first and then was there talking? Or was there grunting and then was there talking? And after that, how did all these accents happen? And how did languages happen? And what do we need in our brains to be able to speak when our dogs or chimpanzees or whatever can't? It's fascinating. Anyway, now that I've said it out loud, we definitely have to talk to that man. Food. Yes, food might be on your mind. It's definitely on our David's mind. He's got second mention for today because he spotted a thing in the living section of the RTE website. 10 lavish breakfasts to treat yourself this weekend. I don't know if you treat yourself over the weekend to a sort of a lavish breakfast or maybe even a brunch. Remember when we started saying the word brunch? We were sort of uncomfortable with it, you know, because far from brunches we were aired. What's that brunch thing, Mick? Well, it's halfway between a breakfast and a lunch, isn't it? You see, the BR from the breakfast and then the unch from the lunch, if you know what I mean. That'd be brunch. Anyway, I suppose we've more time, don't we, at the weekend? And we can decide what we're going to have. So I'm just looking at them here. Donald Skehan, seriously good breakfast. Quesadillas. That looks nice. Sausage and egg muffin. Sounds like a lot of hassle. There's ham and cheese and egg crisps with griddled asparagus. There's Indy Powers vanilla porridge with raspberry coulis. This one is interesting. Joe Wicks. Elvis's pancakes. So it's a tower of pancakes with loads of bacon, rashers we call them down in Kildare, and looks like maple syrup. Then there's the one pan fry up with spuds and bits of bacon and eggs and all sorts of things. Then there's the huevas rancheras with guacamole if you're feeling Mexican over the weekend. And it goes on and on and on, eggs benedict and all that sort of thing. Don't usually do it. I have a special porridge. That's not mad. I have a special porridge at the weekend. I know it's particularly sad. It's particularly sad. But I cook the porridge at the weekend. I cook it with milk and cream as opposed to just water during the week when you're living a puritanical life. And that's nice. I'll give you the recipe if you want it, but you probably don't. Kieran says, not surprising that I have porridge for breakfast at the weekend. We're on food. 17 foods you've probably never frozen, but really should. Now, again, I don't know how you are on the whole freezing things. I just don't trust it. I don't trust it. I've never eaten a frozen meal that I liked. I've never met a frozen meal that I liked. But they're saying now things that you wouldn't think you could freeze, but you can. Avocado, chocolate, why would you? Eggs, why would you? Flour, why would you? Ginger, maybe. Herbs, maybe definitely. Or even definitely maybe if you're an Oasis fan. Honey, probably. Lettuce. I can't imagine lettuce coming out of a freezer well. It says generally freezing lettuce isn't a great idea unless you really like slushy lettuce. You see, nobody likes slushy lettuce. So we'll pass on that. Thank you very much. Milk. Unless you're planning for some sort of end of the world scenario, some type of Armageddon, why would you freeze milk? Mushrooms. High water content can mean that frozen mushrooms become unappealingly squishy when they defrost. You see, I'm gone already. You don't want to be considering anything that's unappealingly squishy. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. Anyway, when you're considering what to freeze and what to have for breakfast over the weekend, you might be interested in checking out the Paralympic coverage on RTE, which has been brilliant during the week. I don't know if you've caught any of it. Dorania Mulvihill is anchoring the morning, and she's loads of people, including Joanna Reardon, who we are huge fans of on this show. And I was watching it the other day, trying to fix the sky, and Joanna Reardon introduced me for the first time to goalball, G-O-A-L, B-A-L-L. It is it's a sport in the Paralympics, but there's no sort of equivalent of it in the real Olympics. So the pitch is about the size of a tennis court. Have you seen this, right? And then at each end, there is a goal, which is the full width of the pitch, but has a low bar. So I suppose the bar could be a metre and a half, you know, about that, 5 feet high. Three players on each side. They're all visually impaired, but because there are different degrees of visual impairment, they all have to wear blindfolds. And then they have a ball. Now, you're thinking to yourself, what's going on here? Well, the name suggested it's goal ball. So they have to throw the ball into the goal. That's how they score. But if they're blindfolded, what's going on? Well, there are two tiny little bells in the ball. And geniusly, the players who are highly skilled and highly tuned into this sound, that's how they know where the ball is. So they dive here, there and everywhere. And when they're defending, they're mainly on the ground, right across the goal. They lie across the goal. And it's a very exciting, engaging sport. Goal ball. If you haven't seen it, look it up. And then there's going to be excitement on the cycling track. We have Rachel Timothy and Ronan Grimes participating. In the equestrian, we have Michael Murphy and Kate Kerr-Horan. We don't have a goal ball team, maybe for the next Olympics. Kerry Leonard is in archery. Colin Judge, I saw Colin, amazing at table tennis, like Colin Judge, and very confident young man, very articulate. So we wish him well over the weekend. And in athletics, in the 1500, we have Greta Strymicht. I'll say that again, Strymicht, that's it. Greta Strymicht. So good luck to all of those taking part in the Paralympics in Tokyo over the weekend. 51551, Ray at RT.ie. Good afternoon, Ray and team. Can you please give a shout out to Tommy and Nora Rothwell in Malahide from all their family? Enjoying the sunshine and the show. Many thanks. Ah, great. Well, hello, Tommy and Nora and all the out there in Malahide. Do you know autumn starts on the 1st of August? At least that's what I learned in school many years ago. Miriam Wexford. It's very controversial. It's not quite as controversial as when spring starts, but it is. There's a bit of controversy about it. I just like to think that September is the beginning of autumn, which gives us that lovely summer feeling until then. Could you give the name of the man who was the podcast on BPD, borderline personality disorder? Thanks. Sean Keyes is his name, and the name of his podcast is You, Me and BPD. That's it. You, Me and BPD. And you'll find that wherever you get your podcasts. Isn't that what they, and it was an interesting chat. Sean suffers with borderline personality disorder himself, and he has done over 40 podcasts on the topic and spoken to people, experts on it, and people who have the condition from all over the world. What's the name of the book on languages? It's upstairs, so I don't have it to hand, but I'll get it for you. If you take the time, the Earth existed as being a clock face. We arrived on the scene at 1 second to midnight. Wait for it, on the 31st of December. So if you've the clock face, right, and that's time, like time. We are just the last second of it. And then it's just when you start into that, and then the vastness of the universe and the number of planets and the vastness of it, and it's not infinity, but it could be infinity. Is it infinity? Where does it end? Where does it end? And that's when you start, your head starts to go, if you don't stop, I'm going to explode. This guy worked in a museum and there was a selection there. So he told the tour it was 4 million. Yes, there was a skeleton, not a selection. There was a skeleton there. So he told the tour it was 4 million and 1 year old. When asked how he could be so precise, he said, when I started here 1 year ago, I was told it was 4 million years old. So it was 4 million and 1 year. Very good. The chocolate isn't around long enough in our house, Ray, to freeze it. It doesn't have a hope of making it to the freezer, says James in Dublin 7. 51551, Ray at RTE.ie on this Friday afternoon. I say good afternoon to you. Top Loader, Dancing in the Moonlight. Big on TikTok, I believe. My 14-year-old daughter told me. The Dawn of Language, How We Came to Talk by Sverker Johansson. He's a Swedish man and a physicist. And hopefully we'll be talking to him about how we came to talk in the near future. The universe is so vast, which likely means there ain't nobody here but us chickens, as the song said, says David in Dublin. Well, all the people we've spoken to, like astronauts and scientists and astrophysicists and all that, they all reckon that there definitely is life out there. Best wishes to Seamus Halpin, heading to Tokyo tomorrow to umpire the para badminton. Good luck, Seamus. This is the first time badminton is included as a Paralympic sport. Incredible athletes. Tune in if you can. And always put some milk in the freezer so I can make tea when I come home from holidays. There's a tip. There's a tip. Because the last thing you want to be doing when you're coming back from the airport or coming up from the country is dropping into a shop to collect the milk. So if you have it in the freezer, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah, we'll be talking to Erica Fleming after a quick commercial break.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551, ray at rte.ie. Now, let me bring you back to 2016 and an RTE primetime documentary, My Homeless Family, which dealt with a number of families who were living in emergency accommodation in B&Bs and hotels. And one of the families was Erica Fleming and her nine-year-old daughter. And it featured, and as a result of that, Erica came to the attention of the nation, came to our attention. We had her on, she was on the Late Late Show, and she became an advocate and a spokesperson for people who were in emergency accommodation. Now, we spoke to her numerous occasions back then, and she went off and lived her life in her new apartment. And we decided this week was a special week to talk to her again. So she's on the phone. How are you doing, Erica?
Hey, Ray. Thanks a million for having me on.
Yeah, great to talk to you again.
You too.
So tell us about this week and pressing the button.
This week was a major week. Well, Wednesday particularly, because I handed in my final thesis for my degree.
Congratulations.
So I'm done and dusted. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So just to remind people, you got into the Access programme in Trinity College.
Yeah, it was Gary Gannon who told me about the Trinity Access programme. I never knew, you know, it was never a dream of mine. Not that it wasn't a dream of mine. I never thought that I would get an opportunity to go to college. And I was actually speaking to Gary Gannon about my daughter Emily and, you know, what she needed to do to get into college in the future. And he told me about the Access programme and kind of forced me to apply. So I did, and I got a place, thank God. And it just changed my life.
So you've done a degree now in English, handed in your thesis. So there's nothing more you can do. That's
no.
It. No. Right.
No. So, like, at the moment, as it stands, I'm on a 2-1. My average grade is a 2-1.
Right.
So with this last thesis, hopefully it stays at 2-1 and I graduate and that's it.
Brilliant. We'll talk about what you hope to do in the future, but just a quick few words on your thesis. So I'll read out the full title and then you can give us the pub explanation, if you like. Exploring the recurring themes used in historical and contemporary literature to highlight the oppressive patriarchal ideals which ultimately supported the incarceration of women in both the mother and baby homes and the Magdalen laundries in 20th century Ireland.
Yeah, that's it. It's a bit wordy, isn't it?
Yeah, but wordy, and it's worthy though, or W-O-R-T-H-Y as well. It's an important piece of work, I would imagine.
Well, please God, because, you know, the Magdalen laundries, we should never, ever, ever be allowed to forget. And I actually think it's so wrong that children in secondary school aren't taught about the Magdalen laundries, you know, because it is part of our history. And so that's where I just wanted to write a piece on it. And I basically started from the 14th century and worked my way up just to show how there was an oppressive regime against women, you know what I mean? And I just highlighted through each era how women were affected by society's patriarchal regimes, you know? That's exactly what I done right up until the 20th century.
And did it make you angry?
When I was doing the reading for it, yeah, I definitely was really, really, really angry. I read a fantastic book by Kaylin Hogan. I hope I'm saying her name right. It's called The Republic of Shame. It's one of the best books that I've ever read. She's an investigative journalist and her book is very, very interesting because it's not her opinion. Do you know what I mean? It's more...
It's facts.
Yeah, it's present. Yes, yes. And yeah. So there's not a lot of horror in it. It's just, it's basically, she finds out, you know, she digs through the archives. It's brilliant.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
I mean, there were certainly pieces of literature that I read that it really made me angry. But then that's the whole point, isn't it, I suppose? You know, you have to feel something when you're reading.
Yeah, of course.
Because if you didn't, then it would be just boring. What would be the point?
And I suppose back in 2016, you were very angry about your situation and other people's situations. And that's why you became vocal. You became a spokesperson. You took to the street.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So you were 22 months in emergency accommodation, yourself and Emily. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And people might remember those, you know, the scenes of you. And it was so claustrophobic. Living out of a hotel room, and the sad thing is that people continue to do that. That is the sad thing.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of like, although it was a difficult situation, it was kind of a situation that just made us stronger, me and Emily.
Yeah.
And it's something that, although, you know, we went through it, it's kind of something that. It's at the back of your mind and you just don't think about it anymore.
Because I was wondering, because in speaking to people like Sister Stan and other people who were working with, you know, people in emergency accommodation and people who were homeless, one recurring theme is the effect this might or will have on children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, Emily's whole thing, like if I am to mention, you know, that period of time in our lives, and her thing is, I don't want to talk about it, move on, you know.
Right. That's
exactly, because she says to me on Wednesday, oh, it's the end of an era, you know, because I'm finished college.
Yes.
And I said, yeah, and it's just like literally like the door closes on, you know, the period of our lives when we were homeless and then been in college. And she said, no, mom, that was a different period when we were homeless. She said, don't put those two things together.
Yeah.
But I find it difficult not to, because if I didn't become an advocate, if I wasn't so outspoken, I would have never met Gary Gannon. So therefore, I would have never gotten into the Trinity Access Program.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
But
so
you see what Emily's saying, because I remember that day when you got the keys to your two-bedroom apartment. And you showed us around it as much as you can on radio. That was... a new beginning for you and Emily. So maybe that's what Emily's talked about. You know, she separates, that day separates, you know, the before, you know, you got the flat. And you're still in the same place.
I am indeed, of course. Just
at
home.
And how,
Emily's settled.
Yeah, and she's, what, she's 13, 14, is she?
No, she's 15.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
So what year is she going into?
She's going into third year.
Yeah.
So, she's looking forward to that, you know, and... I'm definitely looking forward to her actually being back in school and not being at home doing online learning.
Yeah, yeah.
Get the kids back in there quickly.
And just like getting through college, you know, it's very doable. But if you're a single parent, that must have been very difficult for you. Was it tough?
No, it definitely is. Like, there's no two ways about it. It's difficult anyway as a mature student, you know, making that leap and going without money, you know what I mean? And giving up, like, having a wage, you know, that kind of way. So that's difficult anyway. But then when you have young children or a child like I did, that also, you know, is another hurdle that you have to overcome. Because at the end of the day, yes, you would love to be able to sit down and dedicate your every waking moment to your studies, but that's just not realistic. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Your child comes first, or your children come first, and so they have activities and events that they have to go to, and they also just want your time. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So there was times when I was under pressure with a deadline or whatever, and I would be at the kitchen table, you know, night and day, and Emily would say, oh, I feel like you're ignoring me, but it wasn't that I was ignoring her, it was just like, I just had to get it done, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're very conscious of that as well. You're trying to.
And Erica, were there moments when you thought you'd bitten off more than you could chew?
Ray, every year I felt like that. There's never been a time when I was in college that I was like, oh yeah, like I'm brilliant, this is great, you know. Even when I got essay results, I would still be like, oh, I don't know whether that's good enough, or I don't think I should be here, do you know what I mean? I definitely lacked self-belief throughout the 4 years. I mean, when you're in the Trinity Access Programme, you know, the staff, they kind of, they're like a support blanket for you, do you know what I mean? Like a comfort blanket. So when you're having moments of
self-doubt.
Yes, they constantly reassure you. And then when I went into Trinity College, I obviously, the staff in the Access Programme are still there, you know, if you need them. But, you know, the office isn't 2 seconds away from you. So when I was having moments of self-doubt, I have to say the number one person that was flying the flag for me and cheering me on and being my cheerleader was Emily. Oh. I mean, there's been many, many times when I've been crying and saying, you know, trying to get an essay in and reading over and over again and saying this just isn't good enough. And she is always the one that would be saying, you can do this. I believe in you. I know you can do it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So she is just fantastic. I just can't really explain it to you. She's
I think you've done a good job there. I think you've done a very good job there. So the future now, with your degree in English, what do you hope to do?
Up until recently, the number one thing that I wanted to do, or that I was definitely 100% sure on, I wanted to teach.
Right.
But I needed to go and get a master's in education for that. So that's another 2 years.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm kind of ready just to make money right now because I'm absolutely sick of being broke. I've had enough of that. 5 years of living on the bread line. No thanks. So I'm kind of torn, you know, and I'm going to speak to my advisor in the Trinity Access Programme just to see what the options are. I might give her a ring then next week, you know. But ideally, I mean, I would definitely like to work in the education sector. That would be the dream, you know, especially I just think coming from the background that I come from and the area that I come from, there's lots of children that they just don't think that college is achievable, you know, and I would love to keep pumping them up and keep telling them you can do it, you know, you can get there if you really want it, you know what I mean?
Brilliant, Very important.
Definitely. 1,000,000%.
Angela's been on. I just want to say how much I admire Erica's courage. She took a giant leap into the unknown and persevered. She's a fantastic role model. I've read a couple of poems that Erica wrote and English was definitely her subject. Well done, Erica. I'm so proud of you. That's Angela.
Thanks very much.
Erica, great to talk to you and well done on getting that
thanks
in. And
so
will you give Emily a big hug for us?
Definitely. I will indeed.
Okay.
Thanks 1,000,000 for having me on today.
We'll talk to you again, I'm sure. Thanks, Erica.
You will. See you, Ray.
Bye. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Tonight on Virgin Media 1, the Concert for Cancer returns. It's an evening in aid of Marie Keating Foundation and it's hosted by Anna Daly and Marie's son, Ronan Keating. How are you doing, Ronan?
Hey, Ray. How are you? How's it going, pal?
Great to talk to you. You're in Belgium, of all places.
I am. I'm on the road as we speak, on the way to the W Festival in Oostende in Belgium. So it's great. Yeah, live gigs are back in some countries in Europe, and I'm very excited to be back on stage tonight.
Yeah. Have you done any gigs so far?
I did a show last Saturday in Doncaster, and I have a show on Sunday, the Carfest, which is Chris Evans Festival across the UK, just 2 or 3 of them on. Doing that on Sunday, Carfest South. So, yeah, things are starting to creep back in again, back into the diary, live shows.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's nice. You know, in the UK, it's somewhat more relaxed than it is in Ireland. So things are happening.
Yeah. So I was saying the Concert for Cancer returns this second year, third year?
Yeah, second year. To be honest, last year we thought it would be a one-off. It was something we had to do because of COVID. we couldn't raise any money. They're all non-government funded charities like the Marie Keating Foundation or Snookers. We couldn't get out there and fundraise like we normally do. So we had to come up with new ideas, and Concert for Cancer was our idea to try and raise money and awareness. So we raised over 400,000 euros last year, which was phenomenal. We had great acts on, and we've gone and done it again. It's happening tonight on Virgin Media One, and it's an amazing lineup.
Go on, share it with us.
Well, we've got Anne-Marie performing. We've got a host of Irish acts, including the excellent Johnny Logan. We've got Aslan. Myself and Gary Barlow are doing a song together. And we have Ed Sheeran headlining on the show tonight.
That's a great lineup there. It's a great lineup.
It is.
So yourself and Gary Barlow, what's it going to be? Love Me for a Reason? Is that what you're doing? Or a million love songs?
It's a nice treat from the 90s. It's a very special song that I've always wanted to sing with Gary. It's right. Not one of mine, it's one of his.
Uh-huh.
For me, it was a big moment.
Right. I'm hoping, because I'll be tuned in, that it's my favourite Take That song, which is Back for Good.
It is Back for Good.
Oh, is it? Brilliant, brilliant.
Hey, it is Back for Good, yeah. No, I'm very excited about it. It was a big moment for me. Take That were a big band before Boyzone. I used to come home from school and watch them on MTV. I remember Prey, the single Prey in particular, being played on MTV. So, you know, the reason I got in, joined Boyzone was because of a band like Take That. So, look, Gary and I are really good friends, have become really good friends over the years. And I was very honoured and excited to sing this song with them.
Yeah. I would imagine, like last year, it's always emotional because your mother is very much present, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. And it's a great honour, for us as the Keating family to be able to respect and show and have great memories of our mum, but also be able to respect her in this way and remember her and her name to be out there, not just in Ireland, but in Australia, South Africa, Germany, the UK, all these different places where we raise money for and awareness for cancer. Our mum's name is out there. It's a great honour for us.
I was just looking at the divvy up of where funding goes, and I know that the nursing and mobile outreach is part of the Marie Keating activity that you're particularly interested in.
Yeah.
Why is that?
It is. I mean, our mobile units go out there to areas that don't have, far distant areas in the country that don't have clinics or hospitals and so on. And the key with the Marie Keating Foundation has always been, right, about education. We didn't know a lot about cancer when Mum passed away. We were naive. Our mum was naive. Our mum died from one of the most curable forms of breast cancer. Yeah. If we as a family and Mum had been more educated, she'd still be alive today. And that's very difficult for us.
That is very difficult.
We didn't want other families to be in the same situation. So it's all about education, early detection. And that's what our outreach program does. It gets out into areas that don't have access to clinics and doctors and nurses and educates them.
And Rona, can you remember the chat that you and Kieran and Linda and Gerard and Gary had back in the day? You were still in the throes of grief. Your mum had just died, very young woman at 51. And can you remember the chats around setting up the foundation?
Yeah, well, it was Linda. It was my sister Linda. And we were kicking cans around the house, crying into our cornflakes. I mean, it was an awful time. Horrible. It was a very dark time in the house. I'll never forget it. I mean, it was very, very tough for us as a family, and we came together and we fell apart, and we came together and we were heartbroken, devastated. And it was Linda's idea to come up with some way of using all of this negative energy, turning it into something positive, because we were in a terrible place, but trying to find some light is the answer. And that's what Linda did, and we decided to set up a foundation. It was a breast cancer charity to start off with. And as we started to build and build, we realised that it had to be more than that. It couldn't just be about breast cancer. And we now, help people with all forms of cancer, male and female.
Mm. You were just 20 when your mum died, so and you were still finding out who you were in the world, I suppose, in a big way. Do you look at you have a 20-year-old. Missy is 20, is she? Is Missy 20?
Yes, my eldest girl is 20. Jack, my eldest boy, is 22 now. Frightening and scary. I was just sitting with my son last night, Jack, and having a glass of wine with him and talking about Mom. And it's hard still, that she's got it's a huge amount of grandchildren that she, Mom, she got to meet two of them, but she didn't get to meet most of them, and it's heartbreaking.
How much did you raise last year from the concert?
We raised over €400,000 last year.
Right.
It was an amazing event. It was phenomenal. And people calling in and donating from all around the country was incredible.
And you'd be expecting the same tonight. It's on between 9 and 11, Virgin Media 1,
yeah.
Concert for Cancer.
Yeah.
Great lineup. And Gary Barlow.
It's a great lineup, yeah.
Gary Barlow and Ronan Keating singing Back for Good. That's going to be the highlight for me anyway.
That's very much right. Look, well, you can't expect, you can't put a target really. You just hope that people get involved and that they donate. We will come away with the figure last year. You know, a lot of people, a lot of great artists give it the time, but, you know, it's also, there's an incredible human stories within the show as well. People that have gone through cancer and have been affected by cancer. And, you know, there's some really incredible stories in there, and they're just as special and important as the musical performances. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a hell of a show.
Yeah. Listen, away from that, you've had a very eventful summer, haven't you? I'm just looking at all the things that happened in your life. We'll start in May, when you signed up as one of the co-presenters of The One Show on BBC. Congratulations, I haven't spoken to you since then.
Thank you.
That's big stuff, and whenever I get to see it, I really enjoy it, and you look completely comfortable there.
Ah, Ray, you're a good man. I've learned from the best watching you on TV for years. I mean, you just get on there and talk, and that's probably what you'd say. You just get on and talk, we realised, especially over the last year and a half, that we have to be more and more diverse as much as possible. There was no live music, there was no art, there was no performances going on. I had to find other things to do. I was lucky enough, I had my Magic Radio show in the morning on Magic Radio from 6 to 10. And then, you know, there was other things just came to me. And it wasn't that I was out looking for them. People asked me to do different things, and I had the time, I was around, I could do it. So I did, and I enjoy it. It's brilliant. It's a great show with great people. We get amazing talent on there.
Yes.
So it's been brilliant to be part of it. It's ongoing. You know, we're coming back next week with a new set. It's a new show. Alex Jones, my co-host, has just had a baby last Saturday, and so she'll be back soon as well. JJ, who's our other co-host, him and I will be doing a bit of work together, which will be nice.
Right. And how does live television compare to doing a gig?
I mean, it's chalk and cheese. I mean, gigs are what I love to do. I get up there, and that's as natural as breathing to me.
Right.
Just getting up and performing.
Going on to the
One Show is frightening. You know, it's a live TV show, 5 million people, and your heart is beating out of your chest.
Yeah.
And it is a frightening experience. But I love it, and to get that adrenaline buzz is great.
Right.
It's a great energy buzz. It's nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Did you ever think you'd be doing the voice of a wise old dog?
You know you've made it, I tell you. You know you've made it. I became a hero in the household to Cooper, who's 4 years of age.
Yeah.
He's a big Paw Patrol fan. And when they asked me, I was absolutely honoured. It was a no-brainer. Kim Kardashian is on there, Jimmy Kimmel, and myself, and we had a conversation in a dog pound.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I have the clip there. Will I play it out? The first voice you'll hear is that of Kim Kardashian, who's a very sort of attractive white poodle, if you can call a white poodle attractive. And then she's having a conversation with the wise old dog, who is our very own Ronan Keating. Here we go.
Mayor Humdinger's goons took over this place and turned it into a jail.
Old Humdinger's not exactly a dog lover.
He's more of a cat person.
He's rounding up all the dogs in the city and locking us in here.
That's terrible.
Never let your guard down in here.
Ugh, I can't even with all this negativity.
Just ignore her. She's all bark and no bite.
Hey, all bark and no bite.
I mean, it just sounds like me. I mean, I don't sound like a cartoon character, but it's fun. It was really fun to do.
As you say, Cooper, age 4, big fan, so you're now huge.
Oh,
not that you weren't huge in his eyes.
I'm a hero.
You're
I'm a hero in the household now, definitely. That is in Paw Patrol. It's very cool.
Yeah. The other big thing that happened to you, and you can say as much or as little as you want about this, but you got the apology from NGN on behalf of News of the World for phone hacking. And that went on for a long time in your life, and it caused, you know, your terrible hardship. You were suspicious of people around you who were close to you. I'd say that was a big day for you, was it?
It was closure, right? It was closure. But once lesson that you get is that you get an insight into everything and all of the people that talked and said things. And that has been the greatest eye-opener. So you thought you had, you know, your friends and all these people that you thought were, you know, close to you and whatnot, but then you realize actually what was going on when you get to read the disclosure. So that's quite an eye-opener. That's all I'll say. There's been a lot of people that surprised me in that.
Right. And it was a long time coming. Just one more question on it. So you didn't actually take the action against them until last year?
Well, yeah, it's been ongoing.
Ongoing for a while. Okay.
But, well, I mean, it's a 20-year thing, but it was last year.
It's good result. Good result. Yeah. Yeah. So they're the three big events that I've spotted from your summer. Yeah. So they're pretty big events. And so five children. The eldest is 22, as you say, Jack, and then Coco is one.
They're fantastic. They're amazing together. Jack and Missy live with us in London, and the relationship between Jack and Jack and Missy and Coco and Cooper is unbelievable in the household. It's such a wonderful, beautiful energy. It's so very positive and a great atmosphere to be around. I'm very proud of the dad. I love it.
And being a dad, because you know there's 21 years in you know between the eldest and the youngest, and how you've obviously changed in those 21 years. You know, so much has happened in your life. And how do you see yourself? This is a difficult question, Owen. Sorry about this, but how do you see yourself as a dad? You know, with Coco as opposed to with Jack.
I feel like a great father. I feel like a knowledgeable father. I feel like a father who can be there as a friend and be able to sit down and talk to them and understand them.
Yeah.
And you know, Jack now is, you know, like you say, Jack is 22 years of age, and Jack's like 5, 6, 7 years older than I was when I started in Boyzone. It makes me realize how young and naive and innocent I was. You know, it's crazy. It's unbelievable. And the thing is, you think you know everything in your 20s, and you think you know everything in your 30s. And believe me, I'm 44 now, Ray. I still have a lot to learn.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing that age brings, is that it allows you to realize that you have a lot to learn. And you know, I'm on a motorway. That was a motorcycle going by me. But
okay.
I feel like a good dad. I feel like I can understand my kids. But also, I have patience now. I have time and I have patience. And the last year and a half has been a wonderful experience to be in the house, you know, being in lockdown and all the different situations we've been in. But to be there to watch every single movement and step from Coco, change every nappy, feed her, you know, bath her every night. It's been a wonderful, wonderful feeling. But to answer the question, I feel like a good father.
Right.
I feel like, you know, I listen, I pay attention, and I you know, you discipline your children, you know, properly in the right way, and you try to teach them all the values that your parents taught you. And I think I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. My eldest, I have a brilliant relationship with all of my children, and I think if you can do that after 22 years, I think I've done okay.
Yeah, that's great. Right, a bit of music. It's Friday afternoon. I'm going to go. Are you? if you were asked to choose between.
It is a tough call because I love Looking for a Reason. You don't hear it enough on the radio anymore. You know, I Picture You is a brilliant song. It's a Friday evening. You come on, turn your thing to the weekend with a boys on tune. Like Picture You is perfect.
We'll play that when we say goodbye to you. Picture You it is then. Because you're back gigging, and imagine when you get up on stage and people hear the opening chords of. That must be a big moment, is it?
It's a great feeling to have songs like that. It's nice, like whether it's the guitar picking from Nothing at All, or the Na Na Na's from Roller Coaster, or you know, or Come On, Yeah, from Love When He'd Say. To have songs like that in the catalogue is a blessing. And there are songs that means I can tour for the rest of my days. I feel very lucky to have them.
I'd say that must be extra special. You know, when you look out and you know that the band are about to play Roller Coaster. And you know what the reaction is going to be, because people's faces must light up, do they?
They do. The energy changes in a crowd when songs like that happen. It's brilliant, and it's a great moment. Like I say, I'm lucky to have them. Mm-hmm. But it is a brilliant moment. Like today, I'm playing a festival today, so it's not my show. It's a festival. I'm on the bill with other acts. And, you know, it's those songs. They're the important songs in a festival. Not the album tracks from the last record or anything like that. It's those songs and those moments. And that will be quite a moment tonight in Ostend. I can't wait.
Yeah. You can sing along if you like.
Gotta watch your voice for tonight.
Yeah, of course. Listen, Ronan, I'll remind people again, the Concert for Cancer is Virgin Media One, 9 o'clock till 11, raising funds for the Mary Keating Foundation. They do amazing work all over the country and around Europe as well. Ronan, good luck tonight in both the gig and with the concert and the fundraising. And thanks for taking time out to talk to us. Thanks, Ronan.
Thanks for the support. See you, pal. Take care. God bless.
Gurmagad Morabri Ní Cualann, thank you very much and have a great weekend. 51551 ray@rte.ie. It is just after 4:05 on a Friday afternoon and you're tuned to RT Radio 1. Tom in Miami says, listen to Ronan and his great work for his mother's charity. It's such a shame he can't perform his show in the Three Arena in front of a live audience. So eloquent, Ray, and such a great memory of his lovely mother. I see he's in Vicar Street in February, I think I was looking on his website. And Paula says, we use the Marie Keating Cancer Awareness Pack with senior students in our school every year. It is a fantastic, easy to use and understand resource. Students love it. And it's so informative for them. Thanks to the Keating family, says Paula. And when you live 6 kilometres from the nearest shop, you freeze milk all the time, says Mary. Aha, yeah. We have a holiday home in West Kerry. It's 10 kilometres to the nearest shop, so we always have milk in the freezer while we're there. You see, and I was wondering, why would you freeze milk? Well, there are three reasons. To have it when you come home from holidays, if you live too far away from the local supermarket, or if you have a holiday home and you need it handy. There you go. Our quiz of today. Right. What happened there? I'll try it again. I'll just press that button, and press this button. Hey! There you go. All the buttons pressed. Today being the 27th of August. And the prize is a two-night stay in the Kingsley Hotel in Cork. They have beautiful bedrooms, bistro-style restaurant, luxury spa, and an extensive health club. Thekingsley.ie for more information. On the Lee, perfect for exploring everything that the city and county have to offer. Kingsley.ie. Hello, Anita Fitzpatrick.
Hi, how's it going?
You're in Ballymount in County Wicklow.
I am, yeah, that's where I'm from, yeah.
Where is that close to, Anita?
Close to Blessington, Glendalough.
Oh,
We're on the Blessington Lakes, basically.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's grand.
It's grand. You're very blasé about it now. You've mountains and lakes and everything.
Well, I'm there 20-odd years, so you know yourself. You get sick looking at it.
Right. So you went out to the N11, did you, 20-odd years ago from Dublin?
Yes. Yeah. From Blessington, yeah.
Did you follow a man out, or what did you do? Or
I followed a man out, yes.
Yeah.
To my detriment.
Right. I was going to say, how did that work out for you?
You're still
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you've three generations now. You're yourselves, your sons, and a grandson.
Yeah, a lovely little grandson, Tyke, and a son, Callum, and my eldest son, Miles, who's 24 today.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Miles.
Happy birthday.
Is Miles a family name?
It is. His dad is Miles as well.
Aha.
Yeah.
Aha.
Yeah, you know, there's always that thing in the country where you've got 5 Miles or 6 Joes or...
five Miles.
Yeah.
There's a joke in there somewhere in Asia.
I meant that.
Yes. Yeah, so you're like a flower among weeds. You're the only woman in the family.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. How are you going to celebrate Miles Jr.'s 24th birthday?
I'm celebrating it by minding his grandson tonight, or his son tonight.
So he can go out?
Exactly,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
I'm looking forward to it.
You have quality time with little Tig.
I do, well, yeah, I do, yeah. He's great.
Is he? Yeah.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Yeah.
And then you can give them back.
Exactly. Mammy and Daddy then at night.
Yeah. Listen, you're up against Carrie Whelan from Newport and County Tipperary. How are you doing, Carrie?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Say hello to Anita there.
Hi, Anita.
Hi, yeah, how's it going?
Now, it's a busy weekend for you, Carrie.
It is indeed, yeah. I'm getting ready for my friend's wedding tomorrow.
And your friend is?
Mary-Kate Clancy. She's in Clare.
And she's marrying?
She's marrying Owen Collins. I'd love to wish him best of luck and congratulations to the two of them.
Yeah, so they're getting married in Mullagh.
That's it.
And then the reception is where?
It's the Falls and then it's Simon.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, we did a programme from there. Lovely view out the window there of the Falls. That's where it gets its name from, just so you know. Have you been there before?
Very nice. No, I've never been. Looking forward to it now.
And are you fully prepared for the wedding?
Just about, yeah. We're getting there.
Right, go on, talk us through. You see, people want to hear this, yeah, because of lockdown. People haven't had to do this. So
that's it, I know. I kind of forgot everything that was entailed myself.
So I don't want to say, I don't want to presume anything, but I'll start innocent enough. The nails.
The nails were done. Right. They were. I had the toenails done as well.
Okay. Oh, look at you. Pedicure, manicure, lashes. Woo-woo.
Yeah.
Dress.
Hair was done.
The hair, of course. Yeah, yeah. The dress, was that a big deal?
It wasn't. No, it wasn't too bad. I'm only just actually getting it back from being altered, though. So that was a bit.
Right.
time pressure.
Right. Okay. And then the tan. Is there a tan?
That's to be done.
That's to be done.
Step now.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And will that be done this evening or tomorrow morning or
this evening? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And last thing to be ticked off.
Will you do it yourself or will you get somebody to help you?
I'm doing it myself. Right, yeah. I didn't book in time.
Right. Okay. There you go. Any tips, Anita, for the self-application of a tan? No.
Absolutely not.
No. Okay.
Unless she wants to end up a Oompa Loompa.
Oh, we'll hope not.
What a way to end the summer for you, Carrie, because you're back to school on Monday.
That's it, back to work after a lovely summer, and it's a great end to the summer as well.
Yeah.
And
Mary-Kate and Owen are both primary school teachers, as you are.
Where do you teach? I teach above in Dublin, actually, so I'm at home in Tip right now and heading back up to Dublin.
And have you got a new class?
I do. Well, I have junior and senior infants again, so I have new faces coming into me in junior infants.
Great. That's exciting, isn't it? That's exciting.
Really exciting, yeah. Looking forward to all the excitement now next week.
Yeah, that'd be great. There's great energy, I would imagine. Great energy from...
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you get great fun out of them.
Yes,
yeah, it's
do.
Brilliant.
Right.
Such a nice age.
Okay, five questions each. Anita and Carrie, whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. If it's a draw, we go to a tie-break situation. Good luck to you both.
Good luck.
Thanks, good luck.
Right, Anita. Yeah. Your first question is this. On this day in 1972, North Korean shooter Ri Ho-jun won the 50-metre rifle event at the Munich Olympics. The question is, on what continent would you find North Korea?
Asia.
Correct answer. On this day, Carrie, in 1984, a war against indiscipline was launched by government in Nigeria. On what continent would you find Nigeria?
Africa.
Yep, you're on the scoreboard, both of you. Well done. Question number two for you, Anita, is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
For a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down. Medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way.
On this day in 1964, that film you heard a clip from and starring Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke premiered in Los Angeles. Can you name it?
Mary Poppins.
Oh, what a brilliant movie. And what,
it was.
Julie Andrews, what a delightful actress and woman. We spoke to her on the show. That was one of my highlights of my broadcasting career. Anyway, question number two for you, Carrie, is also an audio one. Have a listen to this.
Minister, Chief of Staff.
Are you aware of our ATAC system, 007?
ATAC, sir? Automatic Targeting Attack Communicator. Uses an ultra-low frequency coded transmitter to order our submarines to launch ballistic missiles.
Mm-hmm. And this day in 1947, Barbara Bach, American actress, was born in New York. She appeared in The Spy Who Loved Me. Can you name the actor who played James Bond in that James Bond movie?
Is it Roger Moore?
It is Roger Moore, yes. To all. Question number three for you, Anita.
Yeah.
On this day in 1984, US President Ronald Reagan announced his Teacher in Space project. Which US political party did Ronald Reagan represent? Republicans or Democrats?
Oh, Janie Mackers. Democrats?
No.
Sugar, okay.
I used to remember because it's all the R's. Ronald Reagan is a Republican. So you won't get it wrong again. Okay. A chance for you to go in front, Carrie. On this day in 2008, Barack Obama became the first African-American to be nominated by a major political party for President of the United States of America. Which US political party did Barack Obama represent? Republicans or Democrats?
the Democrats.
Yeah, of course, we've become more aware of American politics over the last 10 years, I suppose, because of Barack Obama and the world's getting smaller and all that. Three plays two. Question number four for you, Anita, is a music one. Have a listen to this.
Cause I got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer takes my blues away.
On this day in 1990, No Fences, the second album by that singer, was released. Can you name him?
Gareth Brooks.
Is the correct answer. And for you, Carrie, your music question, have a listen to this.
God save the Queen, the fascist regime, they made you a moron, potential hate.
On this day in 1956, Glenn Matlock, bassist with that group, was born in London. Can you name the group?
The Sex Pistols.
Is the correct answer. I would have thought that was before your time, but well done. Yes. So four plays three. Now, Anita, you must get this right to be able to chance.
Right.
Okay, if you don't get it right, Carrie is today's winner. So it's an important question. Good luck with
no
this.
No pressure.
Yeah, no. Lots of it, actually. On this day in 1945, during World War II, US troops landed in Japan. Which of these countries has a larger population than Japan? Philippines, Ethiopia, or Pakistan?
I'm
going to
go with Ethiopia.
Yeah, you know by the sound of my voice there. No. Philippines, 109 million. Ethiopia, 114 million. Japan is 126 million. And Pakistan, 220 million.
Janie.
Yeah, Janie is right. Janie is right. Listen, two Ray Darcy Show mugs because it's Friday and we're all in good form on the way to Ballymount to you.
Yeah, very good.
And listen, enjoy the weekend and the company of your little grandson, Tig.
I will, thanks very much.
Lovely talking to you, Anita.
Best of luck at your wedding tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. It's not hers, but their wedding. Yeah, okay. See you, Anita. Bye. Okay, Carrie, well done.
Oh, that's great. Thanks a million.
Yeah, so you're off to the Kingsley Hotel in Cork for a two-night stay. Dinner on one evening, loads to do, loads to explore. It'll be great. And you can check out
Looking
what they have to offer.
The
Kingsley.ie.
Great stuff. Thanks a million.
Enjoy the wedding and good luck again to Mary, Kate and Owen. And we wish them all the best. Okay. See you, Carrie. Thank you. See
Thanks.
You.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We're going down to Clonmel in a moment, but first in the week that the music business and indeed the world lost the Rolling Stones drummer Charlie Watts, we just remember him once again with this one. That's him. The Rolling Stones, Get Off of My Cloud. Great tune. Now, the fate of this year's Electric Picnic still in the balance. But I can tell you for definite that the Clonmel Busking Festival is happening this weekend. And we're going down to the streets of Clonmel to say hello to Simon Malloy. How are you doing, Simon?
How are we doing, Ray? Thanks for having us on.
Well, we said we wouldn't normally talk to somebody like you, but we said there's a bang of normality about a Busking Festival back on after all this hardship we've been through. So it must feel great, does it?
Well, I tell you now, there's definitely a buzz in the air here.
Yeah.
People are out dining in the restaurants here, and there's music all over the streets. So, you know, it's fantastic.
How long is the festival going?
This will be the 11th year of the festival.
And it was off. It wasn't on last year.
No. We done a video last year. John Spillane, we are kind of our mascot. We call him the King of the Buskers. And what he did is he came down and he wrote a song about the actual Busking Festival. So we said we got Miles O'Reilly to come on last year, film it. And we just released a video now on it of the song.
Now,
we're getting absolute huge hits on it.
You're still not back to former glory because it was usually a 4-day event. It's down to a 3-day event. How many people would you normally have? How many Buskers would you normally have?
We'd have a couple of hundreds. The streets would be full of it. We'd normally have a busking competition.
Yeah.
And it'd come from all nearly every county in the country. And what we do is they'd perform for the judges and we shortlist. But when in between that, till they get the word and they make the finals, they just go around every part of Clonmel and just start busking. Like the atmosphere would be just electric.
Yeah. Great. Well, it's not back to its glory, as I say, but it's something, and it's music, and it's live, and it's out there, which is great.
It's live, and it's the kind of confidence you're bringing, kind of people a bit of confidence coming back in the air. We're inundated with texts and messages asking, you know, because I know in January of this year, you know, I said there wasn't a hope we were going to do this, and as the months went by and things got better, and then you're just inundated with requests from young musicians, and it's just kind of, it's like a sign of hope for people, I think.
Yeah. And one of them is beside you there, Chloe Sweeney. So if you can put us on to Chloe, it'd be great. Thanks, Simon, for the moment.
Thank you.
So one of the buskers performing at this weekend's Clonmel Busking Festival is Chloe Sweeney. Hello, Chloe.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
I'm good now.
Good to talk to you.
Keeping well.
Yeah. Whereabouts in the country are you from?
So I'm originally from Cliscillan, but I'm living out in Carrick and Tipperary.
Right, so you've travelled like a long way to be there.
I have. Well, I do be travelling.
You do be travelling.
Yeah.
Tell us your story.
Before all the lockdown.
Yeah, tell us your story with music. Where did it start?
I suppose Clonmel was the closest town to Cliscillan, you see.
Yeah.
Cliscillan is just out the road. And Clonmel has always had this real strong, vibrant atmosphere towards arts and music. And when I was growing up, everybody that I was friends with were all musicians. So it was kind of one of those things that you see it and you just really want to be part of it. So I eventually got a guitar and I just kind of started trying.
started singing. Now, you've had a tough old time of it during lockdown.
I have actually, yeah.
You got the COVID, as they say down the country.
I did. That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much it hit me in February. My partner is an electrician and there was a big outbreak in a hospital that they were working on.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of, it hit a couple of them. But a lot of the people didn't actually get sick. And then I ended up in hospital and it just turned into pneumonia and the pneumonia went into an infection in my heart.
My word.
And I ended up hospitalized and I'm on medication now for pretty much the foreseeable future. They said that it hopefully won't be lifelong, but they didn't give me much hope at the time with a diagnosis because they really couldn't. Ray, they don't know themselves, you know.
Okay.
It's a very difficult situation for the doctors as well.
Well, it's new to everybody. It's new to everybody,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah. Thing.
Have they mentioned long COVID to you? No, yeah.
Nobody has mentioned it, but the doctor has kind of said, look, this is kind of what happens with COVID. This is what's been seen around the country.
Right.
There's a lot of people, especially young people, who are very fit and active. I was doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu before the lockdown.
You were doing which?
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's a martial art. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And you can't do that now.
No.
And how's the singing?
There's a lot that you can't do anymore.
Can you sing?
I can give it a go.
Will you sing? Right, okay. I tell you what we do. This is low tech now, but I love it. I love it for that. Simon's going to take the phone from Chloe. He's going to hold it in front of her. Chloe's going to get her guitar. You see the way it's going here? Yes, she's going to play her guitar and sing.
Yeah.
And this will sound like something coming from the Clonmel Busking Festival, because it is coming from the Clonmel Busking Festival. When you're ready.
Yeah, I'll be floating around anyway. So this is kind of a gist of amateur musicians like myself will be out in the streets.
Right.
And then you'll have all your big name bands and all the professionals then in venues. And okay.
Well, I want to hear you, Chloe Sweeney. Give the phone to Simon Malloy there, will you, please?
Okay, here you go.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, from the streets of Clonmel, it's Chloe Sweeney.
And with your feet in the air, my head on the ground, the trout is tripping and skating. And your head will collapse, but there's nothing in it. And you ask yourself, where is my mind? Where is my mind? Where is my mind?
There you go, Chloe Sweeney. Thank you, Chloe. Chloe there from the streets of Clonmel. Thank you, Simon Malloy. I just want to have a final word with you. That was Chloe Sweeney there. The Clonmel Busking Festival. You say that the king of the festival is who?
John Spillane, he's here at the moment just doing a workshop with a load of young future singer-songwriters.
Right, we'll play out with him. Good luck with the festival, Simon. Thanks,
Thank
Chloe.
You
See you.
Much.
Mind yourself.
Okay,
bye, bye, bye,
right.
bye, 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 bye.
Sed of a heaven bullion for bear gracht to ving, even the hohevra is shell of merluch. Stu deal to leshna gola. Or oh, shed of a hawile, or oh, shed of a hawile, or oh, shed of a hawile. And nisher hachton torig. Tá grán uéle tríal har sáile ógal é garam hale mór gard gaeil iad hé ní gaeil na spáneig is cúdais iad rúig ar gála ó ró séad a bheith uáile bairlum tú na cead bó vanne ó ró séad a bheith uáile an nís ar hacht an tórig. A vile dien a vert mar jarkem, mor de min bjoen jegach schachten, grane wel is miele gaskiech, a fogert van er gola. O roche de vahu alle, o roche de vahu alle, o roche de vahu alle, an isher hachten taurig, o roche de vahu alle, berlum tun akkid bovane, o roche de vahu alle, an isher hachten taurig.
Come on, John Spillane, Sinead, that's it from us for the week. Thanks to everybody who worked on the programme. Cormac O'Hara is on the way with Drive Time, and we will talk to you on Monday at 3 o'clock. Enjoy your weekend.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.